Religion on the Line, 2 hours of exploration into the world of spirituality. Whether it's the basics of faith or the hot-button issues of the day, talk about it now, 576-7710. And now, Religion on the Line.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO, AM and FM. This is the time, this is the place for you to engage in conversation with three folks that are devoted every Sunday morning to stimulating a conversation about religion, spirituality, faith, belief, ethics, morals, superstitions, debunking thereof, and all the rest that goes in between, and that happens at the intersection of the human and the divine. We've got Religion on the Line this morning here at KCMO Radio, 710 AM, 103.7 FM. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Deacon John Perk with the Diocese of Kansas City, Missouri, St. Joseph, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda.
And we've gotten a little bit of welcome relief from the rain. It looks like a little sprinkling this morning, Michael, but it is uncommonly green, and it's getting very commonly hot for the tail end of July here in Kansas City. That's the weather report. On to sports. God bless the Royals.
So, the Royals won last night.
Yeah, they did. So what's going on in your world?
Well, first, I just a curiosity, even though it does involve the weather, because when I heard the weather report for Chicago for today, it indicated a heat advisory for Kansas City. That's not accurate?
We had it yesterday. We had it yesterday, and we have it today, an orange alert, yes.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So folks need to be inside air conditioning most of the day. But I mowed the lawn and edged it, blew the sidewalks and everything, and it was pretty temperate. It wasn't too bad.
And he lived to talk about it.
You have one of those air blower things for your cuttings and all that stuff?
Yes, yes.
Oh, so do you do the whole neighborhood when you get started?
No, I'd like to, but no, normally just we've got a big lot, so a corner lot, so we have to, there's a lot to blow. So.
Okay. So here's a few items that I thought might be of some possible interest, but I will brace myself for disappointment once again. Who knows?
Let's see if anybody talks about anything we suggest. Yes,
right.
Go.
So Archbishop Supich had a meeting this week with the Environmental Protection Agency representatives, in which the headline of that meeting, Supich commits to green monitoring. Archdiocese to track building energy use as a moral issue, obviously in connection with the Pope's encyclical on climate. Archbishop Supich called environmental stewardship a moral issue as he joined Environmental Protection Agency officials in announcing Archdiocese plans to benchmark its 2,700 buildings, including churches, schools, offices, and multifamily housing. First, according to the article, at least, first community in the United States to do so in connection with the Pope's message. And he certainly hopes, and I agree with him, that it won't be the last and that all communities of faith will join in the effort to green things. That said, next item. I thought this was really quite exquisite, especially in echoing Sir Nicole Winston, who just died at the age of 106. Some may recall that name. He's responsible personally. No government agency, no anything. He saved over 900 young people from the Nazis during World War II. In 1938, a British Christian group helped a young Jewish man escape from Nazi-occupied Austria. That man, George Weidenfeld, went on to become a successful British publisher and a member of the House of Lords, and now says he has a, quote, debt to repay. Weidenfeld has launched Operation Safe Havens, which aims to fund the rescue of as many as 2,000 Christians from war-torn Syria. This month, the project prayed for a chartered flight that brought 150 Syrian Christians to Poland. I can't save the world, the philanthropist said. I can do something for the endangered Christians. Last night, Some listeners may be aware, we had the commemoration of something in Jewish life of something called Tisha B'Av, the ninth of Av. Even though last night began the tenth of Av, it's because it fell on the Sabbath, and you're not supposed to commemorate the ninth of Av when Sabbath trumps this sad holiday, which remembers various moments of grief and destruction in Jewish life, starting with, according to the tradition, the legend, that the ninth of Av is when the spies returned from their reconnoitering of the Promised Land, and the people were so disconsolate that they cried.
Say a little bit more about this. This is Joshua and Caleb.
Right, and 10 others.
And 10 others who go to spy out the land.
Come back and they bring a report of the land, that the land is wondrous, etc. And the 10 say, we'll never be able to go up and take possession of it. And Joshua and Caleb are the minority report, but the people are overwhelmed and lose confidence in themselves, which is very interesting, because that particular sin is the one that ends up costing that generation the opportunity to enter the Promised Land. As it were, God seems to be more than forgiving about confidence and faith in God, but when you give up on self and others, you've lost it.
Mm-hmm.
The commemoration, it's not a holiday, it's a fast day, in fact, began last night, and in our congregation, we had an updated commemoration which included a in addition to reading from the book of Lamentations, Jeremiah's lament, which is the basic ritual ceremony and sitting on low benches or on the floor, as opposed to a chair, for the recitation and low lights, etc. We had a presenter on the refugee crisis. Over 50 million people are refugees right now in our world. That's the largest number ever. It's one in every 120 people. Food crisis, and what are we going to do about feeding the world? Richard Steele, I don't know if either of you guys know that name. Richard is a prominent member of the African-American community and a long-standing personality on National Public Radio.
Quite familiar, maybe if I saw the picture, but no.
Yeah, well, actually, if you heard his voice, because he has one of those great radio voices.
Mm-hmm.
But he spoke about the lament. Each of these were laments, and lamenting the alienation between the police and the minority community. Then we had one on the hope for Israel and the pain of how does one keep that hope alive.
Mm-hmm.
And contemporary challenges.
And again, the location for all of this was
all right.
Well,
so that's an item of interest, perhaps. I thought this deserves some wide attention. This is a statement that was issued after the Supreme Court ruling on making same-sex marriage the law of the land by the Union of Orthodox Jewish Congregations of America. And what I find exceptional about this statement, and why I think it deserves some currency, is they were opposed to legalization, and they are opposed to legalization. But I'm just going to quote from a small part of it. We also recognize that no religion has the right to dictate its beliefs to the entire body politic, and we do not expect that secular law will always align with our viewpoint. Ultimately, decisions on social policy remain with the democratic process, and today the process is broken, and we accord the process and its results the utmost respect. In the wake of today's ruling, we now turn to the next critical question for our community and other traditional faith communities. And aside, I'm not reading from the statement at the moment, obviously, John and I had, I think, a very valuable discussion last week, unfortunately, after you left the show, Bob, on this very question. Will American law continue to uphold and embody principles of religious liberty and diversity? And will the laws implementing today's ruling and other expansions of civil rights for LGBT Americans contain appropriate accommodations and exemptions for institutions and individuals who abide by religious teachings that limit their ability to support same-sex relationships? So I thought a brilliant and balanced statement of the challenge our whole society faces. That said, I'm excited, and people will not be surprised, of the discovery of Kepler 452b. You know what I'm referring to, guys?
Another moon.
Are these...
No, all close.
These are beyond our solar system?
An Earth-like planet at an approximately an Earth-like distance from its star, which seems to... It has a 380-something day year. It's at a distance from its star, which is brighter than our sun, such that it would be almost exactly the equivalent of energy from its sun, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. It's a good candidate for, in the billions and billions of galaxies, that maybe there's some other places where
life like ours is going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
at least life. Hopefully it's not like ours.
is this by, you know what? Hold that thought, Michael. We'll take a break. We'll be right back with some more questions about that, all right? We're right here on Religion on the Line, KCMO Radio. Give us a call, 576-7710.
Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City, providing severe service and attention to detail for over 20 years. RainerKC.com.
The economy still matters, and it can either be boon or bane to your investments. This is investment advisor Chris Butler with Butler, Lands, and Wagler, and host of the Capitalist Pig Show, heard every Saturday morning on KCMO Talk Radio. The economy is always oscillating between periods of boom and bust, and that's as true today as it was 100 years ago. At Butler, Lands, and Wagler, we provide you with the best chance to navigate our ever-changing economy by stacking the odds of success in your favor. We do that by investing with the trends, which are themselves reflective of our economy. The biggest difference between us and other financial advisors is that when the environment changes, so do we. This value-added approach gives you peace of mind regardless what the economy and markets give us. You can learn more by downloading our free report at investontrack.com or giving us a call at 913-696-1919. That's investontrack.com and 913-696-1919.
This is you over 30 years ago.
Are we there yet? Are we there yet?
And this is your mom when you drive her back from therapy.
Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet?
Roles change without us noticing, and in your new role, we help you help. AARP gives you the information to help care for your mom so that you can have patience with her, just like she did with you. Visit aarp.org/caregiving or call 1-877-333-5885 to get practical health and wellness tips to provide even better care for your loved one.
Are we there yet?
Remember, visit aarp.org/caregiving. AARP, we help you help. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You may know that Doctors Without Borders provides medical care in emergencies around the world. But did you know that the majority of our patients are women and children? Providing women's health care in the places we work can be extremely challenging, but it's incredibly important. Saving a mother's life can mean saving at least one additional life, since children who lose their mothers are far less likely to survive. They need her, and we need her, because tomorrow needs her. Go to womenshealth.msf.org or hashtag tomorrow needs her.
Hi, I'm Matt Kenseth. You don't have to be a race car driver to know that life can be full of drama. Some of it you can't control, like mechanical issues, high winds, and rain delays. But there's some drama you can skip.
Skip the drama that comes with not having your high school diploma or equivalency. Find free adult education classes near you and finish your diploma. Visit finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org.
You just need to take that first step and find free classes near you and leave the drama for the racetrack.
Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ed Council.
I'm Bruce Brown, Certified Mortgage Planning Specialist with Prime Lending. Join me Sundays at noon for Dollars and Homes. Buying, selling, and financing real estate is serious business and requires professional advice. The Dollars and Homes show provides that advice as we tackle important issues that could save you thousands on your next real estate or mortgage transaction. Join me right here for Dollars and Homes. Sundays at noon, visit us on the web at dollarsandhomes.com or call me, Bruce Brown, 816-286-HOME. That's 816-286-HOME.
Once upon a time, there was a nice house that lived with a family. The house loved the family and took care of them. One day, it started to rain and rain. The house wanted to protect the family, but the water got inside and ruined everybody's everythings. The house was so sad, but the family didn't think it could happen. They told the house that they would take better care of her, always.
Protect what matters. Learn more about your flood risk at floodsmart.gov/care.
Talking Kansas City, KCMO Talk Radio 710, now on FM at 103.7.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Radio 710 on your AM radio dial, 103.7 on the FM radio dial. Give us a call, 576-7710, 576-7710. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Deacon John Perk with the Catholic Diocese of Kansas City, Missouri, St. Joseph, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda.
And, Michael, we were saying just a little bit more about Kepler 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever it was.
This, let's give it its proper
are there three,
4, 2, 5B. 4, 5, 2B, rather. Whatever
four,
the heck that means.
4, 5, 2B. And how distant from Pluto is it? Because I'm assuming...
Oh, it's got nothing to do with Pluto.
This was not seen...
This is, I don't have the article in front of me. Somewhere around 1,400 light years from us, which is to say we probably won't travel there anytime soon.
Okay.
So it's the Kepler telescope, which is in an orbit around our Earth that discovered it. Because they're as its principal mission is to look for quote-unquote eclipses, which is to say when a something passes in front of a star, if we could see it, imperceptible, but the instruments on the Kepler telescope are able to see, to detect, I should say, more than see. And that's how they begin the process of narrowing in and finding more and more information.
It is amazing what can be detected through astronomy again and again and again. So,
boy, I would say you're not kidding.
Yeah.
And in Suffolk, truly, when you mention the exploration of Pluto, how did they do that?
Yeah. how did they slingshot, was it Uranus?
Nine-plus years.
Or Saturn or whatever, or Jupiter. I think it was Jupiter. They used the planet Jupiter. They calculated how it could slingshot them through and give them more energy. It's just amazing. Simply amazing.
Agreed.
So, John, what's on your mind this morning?
Well, following up on Michael's statement from the Orthodox Union, we have a conundrum now in what state of Washington. A federal appeals court said a family-run pharmacy in the state of Washington has to provide Plan B contraceptives, which the pharmacist believes can cause an abortion. A district court had said they did not, but on appeal by Planned Parenthood in the state of Washington, the federal appeals court said the family-owned pharmacy had to. And so that gets to the question, does the state get to decide what is a person's religious beliefs? And in this case, does Planned Parenthood get to decide as well with this appeal? And then another disturbing thing is in the state of Oregon. Oregon allows 15-year-olds to get sex change operations without parents' consent. I find this amazing because I can't even fill a tooth on a minor.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
Again, John?
That's close.
Just
wow.
Google it. Oregon allows 15-year-old.
Oregon, all right.
And on a historic note here, Cardinal Baum passed away on Thursday at the age of 88. Cardinal Baum, for those who don't know, was a local priest ordained in Kansas City, Missouri. He served at St. James, 39th and Troost. He was an assistant, an advisor to Kansas City Bishop Charles Helmsing during Vatican II. He was named a Monsignor, then became Bishop of Springfield, Cape Girardeau in 1970. 3 years later, he was named the Archbishop of Washington, where he served as Chancellor for Catholic University of America. He was named a Cardinal in 76. He was on the commission that drafted the Catechism of the Catholic Church. He was on the Commission for Education and for Ecumenism. And I think that his mother was Catholic, father was Presbyterian. I think his father passed away. Then his mother remarried a Jewish man, and so he came from a a very ecumenical family, Presbyterian, Jewish, and Catholic. And so he must have figured out how to make all that work. So anyway, he was a leader in ecumenical and interreligious work. It's just interesting how one's life can kind of prepare someone for that kind of work. And then last week's Psalm and Gospel was a reading about peace. And I had a discussion with a coworker this week. As dentists, we all treat TMJ or when people gnash and grind their teeth. And, of course, the scriptures refer to when you're cast out of the kingdom of God, there will be gnashing and grinding of teeth. And so I was wondering, how do people achieve peace? How do they achieve rest? Last week, Jesus said to the apostles, come aside and rest a while. So how do we achieve that? And then we got into a discussion about daily habits. How often do you pray? How many minutes a day do you spend praying? What counts as prayer? And so maybe our callers could call and give us their antidote for achieving this peace and rest through spiritual practices. And there's more, but we're coming up on a hard break already.
No, I got another one here.
There's a story.
Can I interrupt you so that we can go on over the break? Snopes, you know Snopes.com, that website?
Uh-huh.
It says that a Fox News station reported what you said earlier in this month, but in fact it isn't the case, and it cites Oregon authorities, and including folks who in the medical community, that the news report seems to be based on a notion of what 15-year-olds can and can't do in the state of Oregon, but surgical procedures require parental consent.
Including abortion?
I didn't read that in this article because I was Googling what we just uh-huh. talked about.
About same-sex or sex change surgery.
Average sex change surgery.
Okay, well, that headline hit the news, and I thought, that's so odd.
Yeah, well, yeah. It sounded so extraordinarily odd.
Yeah, and
especially for a 15-year-old. I mean, lots of advocates for children are pointing out that in terms of criminal law, my goodness, a kid's brain isn't fully developed, you know. At any rate,
we've got the Planned Parenthood videos, mm-hmm. and what does that mean? Does that mean that Planned Parenthood has been violating the law? This is something we were abhorring because of China doing this to prisoners, putting prisoners to death and then harvesting their organs. Well, this is putting unborn children to death and harvesting their organs. And
Planned Parenthood argues that it's only done when the woman indicates that she wants something positive from their perspective, as opposed to, John, your point of view on this, to come from the unfortunate circumstances of needing, seeking, and having an abortion.
Well, there are so many stories and so many spins going one way or the other, but I personally favor... They're getting $500 million or $300 million from the government. Just drop it. Okay, we'll be back after the break.
We're going to be back after these messages here at Religion on the Line at 576-7710. Hang on here at 710 AM, 103.7 FM. We'll be right back after these messages.
They'll challenge your authority.
They'll
try to break your will. They'll push you to the edge of your sanity. Because that's what kids do. But this car is your territory, not theirs. Defend it. Who makes the payments? Who cleans it? Who drives it? You do. That's who. And in here, your word is law. So when you say you won't move until everyone's buckled up,
you won't budge an inch. Until you hear that click. Never give up until they buckle up. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. For more information, visit safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup.
CBS News Update. The probe continues into a deadly movie theater shooting in Louisiana. Police say John Russell Hauser opened fire Thursday, killing two women and wounding nine others before committing suicide. CBS's Omar Villafranca reports.
A law enforcement source familiar with the investigation tells CBS News Hauser had been staying at a nearby motel for at least a month. They found writings in his room that said he wanted to target law enforcement, government agencies, abortion clinics, and anyone else will do. He had even written the name of the movie and showtime he planned to attack.
There are big questions about why he was able to buy a gun. Hauser was involuntarily committed to mental health treatment in 2008.
You'll have a lot of talk about this, particularly on the Democratic side. There will be almost no discussion of any gun control measures on the Republican side, and they happen to control both houses of Congress.
Political analyst Larry Sabato does not see any action on gun control. CBS News.
The KCMO forecast from KCTV 5.
Well, your forecast as we head into the overnight, it's going to stay muggy. Temperatures only drop to 78 degrees by Sunday morning. Still that chance for an isolated shower or thunderstorm overnight tonight. Same thing for Sunday. More scattered showers and storms. Still hot and humid. High temperatures back into the middle 90s with your high of 95. I'm KCTV 5 meteorologist Jesse Hawila.
It's Carson in the Morning.
A Virginia man has won the right to see his son, even though the child was conceived through a woman using a turkey baster.
I had no idea that that was actually even possible.
It might even be a better way.
Really?
I'm not kidding. I happen to feel that there are probably a lot of little basters running around. Hey, thank you very much.
Oh, boy. That's a promo.
That's a promo.
That's good stuff. That's just good stuff.
Carson in the Morning on KCMO weekday mornings 5 till 9. Kansas City's talk station, Talk Radio 710, and now at 103.7 FM. The biggest names in talk radio, even easier to listen to. AM, FM, and online at KCMOTalkRadio.com.
Well, hello again, Kansas City. Joe Antall of Van Subaru. The Van Subaru family just keeps growing. With that, we're expanding our service department and increasing the size of our showroom to take even better care of you and your car. Because of you, we continue to sell more Subarus than ever before. The great news is that with all these new Subarus being sold, we've taken in so many incredible pre-owned Subarus that are now Subaru Certified Pre-Owned. We're proud to announce the grand opening of the Van Subaru Certified Pre-Owned Superstore right here in the Van Autoplex. We feature a super selection of certified pre-owned Subarus that have all passed the 152-point inspection. They've all been meticulously reconditioned, and they come with a 7-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty, 24-hour roadside assistance, and a whole lot more. Stop in today and let us share with you why driving a certified pre-owned Subaru from the Van Certified Superstore is the best decision you'll ever make. The all-new Van Subaru Certified Superstore in the Van Autoplex, just 8 minutes from downtown on I-29 and Vivian Road, or online at vansubaru.com. Stay tuned for more.
Hi, I'm Craig Morgan. You might know me for my songs, but before I sang country music, I served in the United States Army, where I stood side by side with some of the most resilient people I've ever met. They taught me that one small act can make a big difference during tough times. If you're a veteran or service member in crisis or having thoughts of suicide, the Veterans Crisis Line can help. One conversation can save a life. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Or visit veteranscrisisline.net.
Hey, it's Carson. Enjoy the glorious weekend with your family and check out the podcast if you get the time. We talked to one of the vets who's protecting a local Marine recruiting station, plus all the news it's fit to discuss and occasionally make fun of. KCMOTalkRadio.com. Look for Carson in the Morning.
Hey, Kansas City, you're not in Congress. You have to learn to manage your money. The Dave Ramsey Show, now at a new time, weekdays from noon to 2 on KCMO Talk Radio 710 and 103.7 FM. Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Talk Radio, 710 AM, 103.7 FM. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Deacon John Perk with the Catholic Diocese of Kansas City, Missouri, St. Joseph, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda.
And our number is 576-7710, 576-7710. And,
or you can email us, thanks to our Scoberguard sponsor who provides our email, 5767710@gmail.com. Following up on that peace, if a person lacks peace, and if one were going to do a diagnosis for how to recapture peace, where would one start? Is it conceivable that we could start at the Ten Commandments, an inventory of the Ten Commandments, to see if we are following the Ten Commandments? Does breaking the commandments cause us to lose peace? After all, when the Israelites went into the desert, God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, and Jesus says, if you wish to enter into life, to keep the commandments. And so are the commandments keys to peace? And what other inventory would you make in regards to relationships? So often people's turmoil is over relationships. How would you repair those relationships in order to live in this peace?
All right, John.
Are you trying to get people to give you help, John, on a sermon for today, by any chance?
No. I just meet so many people who are anxious and worried, and who carry a lot of guilt around with them.
Yeah.
And my first thought is, have you looked at the Ten Commandments? Those are the keys to peace. Those are the keys to the kingdom of God. Those are the keys to the promised land. And if you kind of alluded to it in an indirect way today about those not passing into the promised land, was it because they did not keep the commandments? And so what is our promised land? The kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, what's their peace? Peace, joy, happiness.
So small moment. In Jewish tradition throughout the world, this past Sabbath, we began reading from the book of Deuteronomy, Devarim, as we call it in Hebrew. And it begins, these are the words Moses spoke on the other side of the Jordan to the entire Israelite community in the wilderness. And Rashi, the great medieval biblical commentator in Jewish life, comments, why in the world would it need to say in the wilderness? Because it's according to the setting for the book of Deuteronomy, it's the 40th year, the 11th month, the last month that they're still. Why in the world would it say in the wilderness? And his comment, written in the 11th century, is that you can be in the wilderness even when you're not in the wilderness.
That's right. Yes.
So it is it's a living metaphor. Sometimes we say, oh, it's only metaphorical. Well, it's a metaphor designation for something that is a real reality. So,
well, it's a wilderness of the heart.
Mm-hmm. I've got a few things to suggest for conversation this morning, and do give us a call at 576-7710. Number one, the Episcopalians have a new presiding bishop, the first African-American for the Episcopalian Church, U.S., and his name is Michael Curry. I believe he used to be the canon at the Washington National Cathedral a long time ago, and he is the new presiding bishop, and I think that was done in Salt Lake City. The Southern Baptists have invited, I believe, to say that they're going to be interviewing Jeb Bush and Marco Rubio, one live, one via video, before their big gathering on August the 4th. But they've disinvited Ben Carson because basically there was an outcry because he's a Seventh-day Adventist. And his politics are correct, I bet, according to most Southern Baptists, that from the fundamentalist perspective in the Southern Baptist Convention, they would probably like Ben Carson, but they disapprove of his being a Seventh-day Adventist. So he has been disinvited. Very interesting. The other thing, did you hear what Whitey Bulger, or is it Bulger? I can't remember.
I think it's Bulger. But
Bulger, yeah. The hood.
He's not getting out of prison either way.
Yeah. Some National History Day competition writers in Massachusetts, high school students, wrote a letter to him And this 85-year-old guy responded, to their surprise. He didn't ask, answer their questions about his life, but instead expressed regret about his life of crime. Quote, "My life was wasted and spent foolishly," he confessed, saying it brought shame on his family, per the Boston Globe. It reminds me of a James Cagney movie a long, long time ago, where a priest, I think, asked him to go kicking and screaming rather than full of braggadocio to the electric chair. So, the other thing is, I've just come back from the Disciples of Christ General Assembly that was held in Columbus, Ohio, from the 18th of July through this past Wednesday, the 22nd. Glenn Miles, senior minister of Country Club Christian Church, has been our moderator for the past 2 years, and he presided at this gathering of disciples from across the face of our church. And it was a wondrous thing. There was worship, there was study, there was contretemps and discussion about justice matters. There was lots and lots of workshops and seminars for people to gain new tools for doing church. And then I went to two things, Michael, John, that had to do with religious devotion and regular religious practice, if that means worship and attending to things that are highly valued. It also paralleled the expense that one would go to contribute to those endeavors. It had to do with study and familiarity. I went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland and then the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. And both of these things will not disappoint. Even if you're not a fan of either, it is pretty overwhelming. Michael, have you been to the one in Cleveland?
I've been to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I have not been to the Football Hall of Fame, however. But we had a great time at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's almost like visiting a piece of one's own story.
It's certainly visiting the soundtrack of our lives, I believe. And any rate, there was a section, sadly, where religion was viewed as negative and oppositional to all of rock and roll. And it was some of the fundamentalist, kind of uber-conservative movements and actions by radio stations and churches and preachers to ban certain pieces of music and to destroy them and have burnings and, you know, DJs crashing the old hard, I don't even know what they were called. It wasn't vinyl, but the hard, hard, brittle plastic that records used to be made out of, and destroying them in the studio and having big burnings and banning of them. That was sad to me. That's in the very first part of rock and roll, and there was some resistance to that. There was no countering inclusion of religious rock and roll later on, and eventually I hope that there will be something like that displayed in the museum. So. Or Hall of Fame. Those are a few of the items that we can talk about. And the Pope made the cover of National Geographic. Pope Francis remakes the Vatican. And I've got even something for John to get his own book, Pope Francis and the New Vatican. I don't think I'm going to just keep this, but we'll be talking about that. John, there it is, and we're going to be right back at 576-7710 here at Religion on the Line.
Kansas City's talk station is KCMO. Rob Carson, mornings 5 to 9.
There have been some squirrel attacks. Who would ever thought you'd be attacked by a rodent, by a squirrel on Happy Rock Park? Doesn't that just sound like a horror movie? That sounds like Friday the 13th, doesn't it?
It's probably caused by people who feed squirrels.
I feed them so I won't get attacked.
Okay, let's stop right there.
The Greg Knapp Experience, 4 till 6 p.m.
You're just lucky to be in Kansas City.
Yeah, welcome to the party.
KCMO Talk Radio 710 and 103.7 FM.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard, so you don't need to mooch off your friends.
You gonna finish that grape?
You mean the one in my mouth?
You don't need to stop buying the necessities.
What you're smelling is a natural musk.
Ew.
You don't need to be a medical test subject.
How do you feel?
Mostly okay. I... Sometimes, though.
You don't need to get a second job as a stuntman.
We need a new stuntman! Let's break for lunch.
You just need an internet connection. Don't get left behind. Start your personal savings plan with the tips and tools on feedthepig.org. That way, you don't need to sell your soul to the devil.
$15 is the best I can do.
All right, deal.
Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Okay, gang. So, chances are there'll never be an emergency ever, ever again.
Mm-hmm.
But, just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
So, who's gonna do what? Anyone? Yeah, okay, perfect. We'll figure it out as we go. So, who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag?
It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Ah, good point. So, we all know who to call if something happens then, right?
I'd have to call Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
And I will try to call all of you, but Greg doesn't have a cell phone. Dad's phone will have a dead battery.
No doubt.
And Julie will be on the phone with Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency, who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
We used to get together every week. She's been home from her last deployment for months now, and I haven't seen her once.
He's just been different since he got back from Iraq. One minute he's ready to go, and the next he doesn't want anyone around.
The nightmares are back and seem to be getting worse. Shouldn't he be sleeping better after all these years?
A lot of people don't understand what veterans go through during their service or when they come back, and that's okay.
But everyone can help.
You can make a difference in the life of a veteran.
You stood by us when we were in uniform, so stand by us now.
Like my brother did, when he wouldn't take no for an answer.
Like my wife did, when she asked the right questions.
Like my friend did, when she made the call.
Take a stand for those who served our country.
If you're a veteran in crisis, or know one who is, the Confidential Veterans Crisis Line is here for you. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Chat at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
Men, if you're like me, you appreciate the feeling of a clean, smooth shave from a quality blade. The sort of shave that cuts clean, without the burn. So why are you messing around with generic razors that cost $32 for an 8-pack? When you can shave with Harry's high-quality German-engineered blades for half the price. And if saving money and a clean shave isn't incentive enough, Harry's will give you their starter set, complete with a razor, three of their world-famous blades, and shaving cream for just $15. And shipping is always free. We'll also give you $5 off your first order. Our way of saying thank you for trying us. How are we able to save you all this money and still give you the best shave you'll ever enjoy? By owning the factory that manufactures them. That's how. So go to Harry's.com right now and enter code 6655 at checkout. That's Harry's.com, code 6655.
Hey, it's Carson. Enjoy the glorious weekend with your family and check out the podcast if you get the time. We talked to one of the vets who's protecting a local Marine recruiting station, plus all the news that's fit to discuss and occasionally make fun of. KCMOTalkRadio.com. Look for Carson in the morning.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Radio 710 on your AM radio dial, 103.7 on your FM radio dial. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Deacon John Perk with the Catholic Diocese of Kansas City, Missouri, St. Joseph, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda.
And by the way, Michael, you know, That's really hitting the mainstream, don't you think, John? Don't you think, Michael, when Pope Francis makes the cover of National Geographic?
That's just one of those side streams. I mean, it's kind of intriguing that some years hence, when a kid, you know, if you're, I remember as a kid looking through a National Geographic so I could see pictures of semi-naked women who were in native dress, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now the Pope is part of that
search?
Yeah.
Well, and there's other...
Well, they want to sell magazines.
And also they want to sell books. There's a big book in here, The Pope and the New Vatican. There's a whole book, 280-some-odd pages and 130 pictures. Apparently they were allowed some
at
access.
National Geographic?
Yes, they published a book. And I've given the...
That's generally out of their métier, you know?
Yeah, but I think, you know, it's the photography piece.
Oh, the treasures of the
and
Vatican,
also,
as it were.
And also what he said about climate change.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
And the human-induced warming of our planet and the rest. Uh-huh. So
that is a focus, if not the focus of the
it's
book.
It's not the focus of the book, but it certainly is included. Yeah,
uh-huh.
I'm presuming. It's certainly mentioned in continues to be mentioned again and again. So,
yeah, it's 120 never published photographs, and the chronological list of popes and map of Vatican City, going all the way back to Peter. And Bob's right, 256 hardbound pages.
And here we go. We've got Raj. Raj, you've got religion on the line. Welcome. Good morning.
Sir, I would just like to make one comment about the distinction between the understanding of spirituality between Christianity and Hinduism. And you see how it's very clear in the dialogue between Dr. Einstein and Tagore on the nature of reality. The first question which Dr. Einstein asked Tagore, is the divine distinct from this world? And Tagore says, no.
So I'm sorry, Raj, you said, is what distinct?
Am I?
Divine distinct. Is the spiritual world distinct from the physical world?
Is the divine. Okay, yes, okay, all right.
And Tagore said no to it. You can read about that in the Tagore-Einstein dialogue on the nature of reality. It's on Google.
Okay, and when Raj is saying Tagore, it's T-A, the way it's translated into English, is T-A-G-O-R-E.
Exactly right.
A great spiritual master, the person who wrote both, I believe, the national anthem for Pakistan and the national anthem for India, and the first person of Asian descent to win the Nobel Prize for Literature.
And he was also guru of Mahatma Gandhi. You know, Gandhi always called him guru.
Yeah, and I think it is Tagore who gave Gandhi his nickname and affectionate title of the Mahatma, meaning great soul of India.
Yes. Now, what I'm trying to say is that for Einstein, the faith divine was very distinct, the creation and the creator. For Tagore, everything is spiritual. There is no distinction between that. And one more thing I would like to point out, that its implication in the everyday life is that if you believe everything is one and there is no spiritual world beyond this world, then you have no faith in the categories. You know, no distinction between different categories. It's only our perception. It's only our illusion. And in order to have growth of science, you have to have, it's a precondition, why did we have to have a faith in categories. So it's not really a great wonder that science did not develop in those countries which did not have faith in categories. So I'm just trying to give one example of the implication of the faith in spirituality, difference between spirituality.
Okay.
That your comments.
Well, Michael has all the Einstein down on this show.
Okay.
We're joshing a little bit, Raj.
It's always nice to hear from Raj. Second, my comment would be around the notion that as I understand the biblical tradition, there is only one realm, and it is all about spiritual growth and connection, and we are all meant to be expressions of that, that the only thing there is sacred. There's just the lack of awareness on our parts more and or less.
Mm.
It's the holy and the not, and what we do not yet recognize as holy.
And John?
Well, Raj, I agree with you. If there is no afterlife, if they're not connected, then anything is possible. And what's usually imposed upon everyone else is the strong against the weak. And, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. If it wasn't for the Ten Commandments, for instance, and people who follow those, think of all the billions or hundreds of millions of people and all the chaos there would be in the world if there wasn't a commandment. Let's say, for instance, thou shalt not bear false witness, or thou shalt not steal, or thou shalt not kill. How much worse the world would be because of people who restrain themselves and follow those commandments.
I would just like to, do you believe that there is not a big distinction between Hindus' concept of spirituality and Christian concept of spirituality?
No, I believe there's a great difference, because Christian spirituality is based upon the revelation of Jesus, who says he has only seen the Father. He has only seen God. And to my knowledge, there's thousands and thousands of deity in Hinduism. And so I think anything's possible without God revealing himself to us. And that for us, that first revelation was to the Jewish people, to Abraham. And then for Christians, the visible image of the invisible God is in Jesus for Christians.
Can we summarize it that we believe in distinction between the creation and the creator?
Yes, we can, and we can also...
And we got to summarize out of here.
We got to go. Raj, thank you for calling. We're going to put you on hold so that we can send you some coasters, and we're glad for your call always here at 576-7710, Religion on the Line.